we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just making common sense like a superpower. I'm jumping right on into the first dipper here. And this one is called Doge Doings. And I'm going to be talking about federal and state. Because believe it or not, Alabama and multiple other, and maybe even Tennessee and multiple other states are forming what they call their state level Doge. Department of Government Efficiency. What are they doing these days? Well, it's like every day it's something new. Try to keep up. I mean, it's almost gotten passé to try and report on it, but there's so much stuff. But what's funny too are the liberal histrionics about it. I'd like to say it's calmed down slightly, but only because there've been so many other things in the news. That's all. I don't think that it's like gone away by any stretch. The most ostentatiously bad article that I could find came from the Daily Beast. Phil, did you go to the Daily Beast? I did. I go to these places so you don't have to. Daily Beast, Dateline 2 days ago. Doge goons physically drag a Social Security worker away from the desk. That's the headline, JP. Doge goons physically drag a Social Security worker away from the desk.
Surely there's more to the story there.
There's actually not. I mean, I read through it trying to find out about the Doge goons physically dragging the Social Security worker away from the desk. And there's only a vague reference that something about being removed from the desk actually happened. But they were Doge goons.
Doge goons.
And they physically dragged the Social Security worker away from the desk.
I've heard goons, ghouls, of all the above.
Unreal. So bottom line is this. Daily Beast. A senior executive at the Social Security Administration was physically dragged from his office this week after clashing with the Department of Government Efficiency, according to the Washington Post. Greg Pierre, a career civil servant who led an IT team working on the agency's data systems, was removed over his opposition to a Doge plan. Okay, it went from being physically dragged to just removed. And then later in the story, the only thing you could find is he was removed. Okay.
So there's probably more to the story they didn't want to put in there of like he was.
It's probably not.
Is this the Daily Beast you said? I've never even heard of the Daily Beast.
The Daily Beast is about as liberal as you can get.
I figured.
It's just right. It's like one step above Mother Jones. By the way, whoever names their magazine Mother Jones deserves what they get. And then the article goes on to say, the scheme, as cooked up by Elon Musk's Doge Squad, falsely lists thousands of migrants as dead in the Social Security. So basically, this article first takes issue with a goons physically dragging someone from their desk, which they can't substantiate. And then they talk about how bad it is that illegal immigrants are getting their names taken out of Social Security. You can't make this stuff up. By the way, it also gets better when you realize there are no sources for the story. They say things like, many career staff were worried the project was wrong or illegal, a former senior official told the Post. Okay. They're not even worried about their job anymore because they're a former senior official. But their name is still not in it. Which, you know, that's the kind of reporting you see that says things like, sources say, or on the condition of anonymity. Everything with grain of salt at that point. They also have a whole section here about insiders told the Post. Okay, anyway, all I'm saying is libs are just ate up like a soup sandwich. They don't know what to do with Doge. They're so upset that we're actually finding the places they've been hiding money and wasting money. Well, how about this? Doge did discover something. This is Daily Signal, Dateline yesterday. The Biden administration not only released a record number of known or suspected terrorists into the U.S., but also gave them Social Security numbers and taxpayer-funded welfare benefits, according to a new analysis by Doge. Doge posted the latest findings of alleged government waste, fraud, and abuse fully funded by Congress in a post on X. So here's the deal. They have so far identified 6,300 individuals who were paroled into the United States since 23 on the FBI's Terrorist Screening Center watch list or with criminal records. Using the terrorist screening data set, they found these 6,300 individuals. And then, oh, by the way, Of the 6,300 paroled illegal foreign nationals with criminal or terrorist records, all were given Social Security numbers. Many receive federal welfare benefits. They can track them by name. 905 of them received $276,000 in Medicaid funds. Four of those were actually on the terror watch list. 41 of them collected $42,000 in unemployment payments. 22 of them received $280,000 in federal student loans. 409 of them received a net combined total of $751,000 in tax refunds and SNAP benefits. And it goes on. This is asinine. And by the way, it's taking Doge to find this stuff. And yet what you're going to hear from the libs are they physically dragged a Social Security worker from their desk. And yet what they're finding in Social Security is you've got thousands and thousands of people on the terror watch list given Social Security numbers and lots of free stuff.
Unfortunately, I'm not surprised by those numbers.
I know. It just, every day is a different day, and every day is a new finding. Like, how about this one? From Fox News, Dateline yesterday. Doge uncovers a massive VA contract, Veterans Administration, for salary survey data and analysis. What does that mean? Salary surveys, data, and analysis. In other words, they do a survey of people's salaries, and they analyze it for you. And give you a Excel spreadsheet, I guess. It was a $15.3 million contract for salary survey data and analysis. Doge found it. Doge canceled it. $3.9 million annual for multiple years. By the way, they replaced it with what they call a market price opportunity for $5,000. $5,000.
That's a bit of a gap. What's actually necessary and then over the top?
Went from 3.9. Somebody's hating life.
Yeah.
They lost their $3.9 million annual slush fund. They're funding black ops in Venezuela with this stuff. Who knows? Earlier this month also, Doe said the VA was paying $380,000 a month for minor website modifications. In other words, they've got somebody running the VA website. And they're getting paid $380,000 a month. The contract was non-renewed. The work is now being done by one internal VA software engineer who takes 10 hours a week to do it.
What's funny, though, in the title, they even admitted it was minor tweaks.
Minor tweaks. How about this? Doge. Just listen, it's every day. It's all over the place. It's everywhere. Doge. FoxNews.com, Dateline yesterday, the U.S. Department of Transportation announced that it will save American taxpayers over $60 million by ending a grant to help fund a high-speed rail project in Texas. In the age of interstates and fast cars, why did we need a $40 billion rail project across Texas? Well, the fact is, we didn't. And so the $63.9 million grant has now been pulled back, and Secretary Duffy said if they want to fund it to the private sector, they can go right ahead. Just saying. Coming up next, let's talk about State Doge. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Stephanie Smith calling in. We'll be right back. Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two to all of our listening audiences, whether you be up yonder in Tennessee or over in Georgia or around Alabama and even down in Auburn. Listen, we got a lot going on, and I just finished covering some of what Big Doge, Federal Doge, has been up to, saving and just millions and finding just scads of what I would call waste, fraud, and abuse. I mean, the very idea that thousands of illegal aliens come into our country on the terror watch list, are given Social Security numbers by the Biden administration, and then collect millions of benefits. That's just gross. But listen, lest you think that it is just a federal thing, just the other day I wrote a piece about how in Alabama we had a budget surplus. We have a budget surplus. The state Senate just passed the largest ever education budget in the history of our state at almost $12 billion in total spending. At the same time, they're talking about doing away with a tax cut because apparently they don't have enough money. That being said, there's a lot of money in the states, and there's a lot of deep state in the states, and there's a lot of waste, fraud, and abuse even in the states. And somebody who knows about it firsthand, who's been on the job tracking this stuff down, even looking at AL Doge as a thing, is our friend Stephanie Smith, who runs the Alabama Policy Institute, and she's on the phone right now. Stephanie Smith, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on, Phil.
Absolutely. Well, it's been too long. I know you guys have had your hands full, not just with, you know, things raising all your kids and them being in school, but you've got API in the middle of a legislative session. So, Alabama Doge, what do you got going on with all that right now?
Yeah, so we established AlDoge last December when it became clear to me, at least, that this was kind of the direction that the new Trump administration was going to head. And because I thought it was brilliant. And it's also one of those things that's sorely needed on the state level, as you mentioned,
yeah,
it's needed on the federal level. And so we really started, launched it, got some really good ideas from the general public, from elected officials, from bureaucrats that are in the know in Montgomery, and we've been creating AlDoge reports. I think we're on number 12 now in the last 3 months or 3.5 months about spending in Alabama, about taxes in Alabama. We started where Elon Musk started. We don't have USAID grants here in the state of Alabama, but we do have education trust fund grants and general fund grants. And so that's where we started, just like Elon Musk did, which is trying to figure out how much money is being spent on non-governmental entities in the state of Alabama. So
yeah,
taxpayer dollars going to nonprofits. And so that's where we started. And in the ETF, that's $60 million in this budget that is just now being passed through the legislative process. And so, it was about $130 million between the two budgets going to nonprofits. And those were kind of our first two reports. Then we started really looking at salaries, especially on the education side, when the superintendent of schools asked for a huge percentage increase in his salary.
Yeah, his personal salary.
In his base salary.
Yeah.
So we did an analysis of superintendents in surrounding states, how much they make versus what their NAEP scores are. And what we found was that even before the raise that Dr. Mackey just got, he was the highest paid and with the lowest scores.
Wait, did they give him the raise? They gave him the raise he asked for?
Yes. Well, not the raise he asked for, but yes, they gave him a raise.
Good gosh.
So not the full amount that he asked for. He actually backed up and asked for less, I think, because of the public pressure. But it's one of those things. You know, he's obviously trying to circle the wagons and increase his level of power. And then we did some we dug into tax expenditures, and what I mean by tax expenditures is deductions and credits and where that money goes, because that's money that's not coming into our budgets at all. And then some more information on where money is being spent, and then foreign influence on our higher ed friends around the state. And that was an interesting one because since 2013, there have been over 7,000 foreign payments to Alabama colleges and universities to the tune of $275 million.
Whoa.
And there's no accountability for why that money has come into the state or what the foreign entities received for their purchases.
Yeah, I mean, that sounds like favorable treatment in the curriculums or make sure you allow our students to have first access to scholarships or something.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, can I jump back on part of what you described a moment ago?
Sure.
Let me go back to the NGOs. So you discovered millions given to non-governmental organizations. And some of those I can remember being there before. You know, like in the general fund, you
sure.
might have VOCAL, which is a victims' rights organization, and they get some funding.
Some of them are very worthy.
Yeah, some of them are worthy.
But they're non-governmental organizations
right.
with no accountability.
Did you find some, though, that raised your eyebrows?
Yeah. Yeah, I did find some that raised my eyebrows. And there were some, you know, some of those are too, it's a way to funnel money to municipalities and favored organizations that either have a really good lobbyist or have a buddy in the legislature.
Yeah.
And that's really not how governmental spending ought to be made. You know, there ought to be a vetting process, a fair process, and a process to where there is accountability to the taxpayers for how that money is being spent. And even if the money is going to completely worthy nonprofits, that it's a nonprofit. The irony is it's a non-governmental organization that's being funded by government.
Yep.
And so, and there's also just no accountability to the taxpayer that any of those dollars are being spent for the purpose that they said that they would be spent for. And so that's a real problem. And
it's,
our next
report
problem. Is coming out actually tomorrow morning.
Okay.
And I'll give you the sneak peek, it's on Innovate Alabama and the dollars that are going for economic development purposes to different organizations. There are 236 recipients who have gotten over $107 million in taxpayer dollars through this program in grants and tax credits. Only 200 of those organizations have any information whatsoever online.
Oh.
And a decent amount of that money is being used to promote DEI.
Come on.
Also, questionable uses of funds are things like $490,000 in tax credits to a Mexican restaurant in Birmingham.
A Mexican restaurant in Birmingham.
Yes.
Like one restaurant.
One restaurant. $5.9 million going to a place called Bronze Valley Venture Capital to, quote, and this is on the website, promote diversity and inclusion in the field of technology.
What, is that in the latest budget, or is that in last year's still hangover budget? Where is this?
So this is Innovate money that has already been
come on.
Has already been expended, and then basically they funnel it to the Innovate board, and then that board decides where that money goes.
Do we have any legislators on that board?
There are more than a few legislators on that board.
Oh, listen. Okay, this is. All right, you may be lasting through the break on this one. So, Innovate Alabama, do they have a website?
They do, and they're actually really proud of all that they have done. They have a map where you can click through. It's called their asset map, innovatealabama.org/asset-map, and you can click through and find all of the things that we're reporting on. We went through the entire map and figured out who the entities were as best we could, where they are, how much they received, what program type they got it from, meaning was it cash or a tax credit, that kind of thing, and then what type of organization received it. And some of these are also nonprofits, and some of these are worthy, and some of these are clearly not. And then some of these have very little information about the organization. And then if you click through and try to figure out who the organization is, there's one splash page and not a lot of information about the organization. And then just like with the NGO question, there's no accountability to the taxpayers about whether or not this money is used wisely. And there's no accountability to the taxpayers on jobs. So most of the time with economic development incentives, there are what are called clawbacks, which is some sort of accountability measure to where you say, hey, Mexican restaurant, El Barrio in Birmingham, which I've been to, very nice restaurant. It's hard to get in, by the way. But you received basically $500,000 of taxpayer funding for the purpose of expanding your kitchen. Did you expand your kitchen? Did you hire extra people? How many people did you hire for the $500,000?
And why are we giving money to a Mexican restaurant to expand their kitchen? I mean, is this a jobs program? Was there a federal grant that passed through to this? This makes no sense to me.
The thought process is that we incentivize large businesses, and therefore we should also incentivize small businesses. So basically, you apply as a small business, you apply for a small business tax credit, and you get $250,000. And then some of them receive what's called a network designation, and they can get an automatic 250 every time they ask. And then some of them receive, you know, multi-millions of dollars. One of the other ones that will raise your eyebrows.
My head's exploding right now.
There is one. There was a payment to a place called, I don't even know how to pronounce it, UABRN LLC, UABRN, I don't know, made up word, given just over $1 million in a small business tax credit to build a convenience store in Bessemer, Alabama.
Stop it. UABRN. Have you gone to the Secretary of State's website?
UABRN LLC.
Have you gone to the Secretary of State's website to see who founded it?
I haven't. That's a good idea. Our researchers might.
Well, if you don't mind, let's take a break right now because I got to, but I want you to hang on. Could you mind hanging on during the break?
No, in the meantime,
I'm going to UABRN's Secretary of State's website and seeing who in God's name orchestrated this, if I can. My gosh. I didn't call you on here to raise my blood pressure, but you did.
I know it.
Oh my gosh.
So frustrating.
All right, we're with Stephanie Smith, who's got Al Doge, and y'all, they're finding real stuff. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just pulling pins on truth grenades. All right, so I'm going back to the phones with Stephanie Smith. She's the president of the Alabama Policy Institute. They created an Al Doge, they're calling it. And they've been uncovering stuff, just like combing through the records. And I happen to know some of their staff, and they've got the people who know how to dig. And Stephanie herself has also served in the Capitol. She knows exactly where things are hidden. And Lord, you guys have found some stuff, Stephanie. So I am totally ticked off right now. UABRN USA Inc. I looked them up, and there they are. And it's the registered agent is somebody named Ahmed Badijia, who has a address in Bessemer, which is where you said he got hundreds of thousands of dollars just to build a convenience store.
A million dollars
to build
a convenience store.
State dollars
to build a convenience store.
This is scandalous. I'm not using that term lightly. That's not my style. But this is scandalous. And I did look up Innovate Alabama's board while I'm looking at it too, and it's got. I mean, I've got friends on that board. I'm looking at Greg Reed, Garland Gudger, Representative Anthony Daniels, Danny Garrett, Bobby Singleton. I mean, Bill Poole. This is a board full of folks that should know better.
Yeah, and it's frustrating for a couple of reasons. One is that there's a clear bias toward diversity and inclusion all throughout their terminology, and then also all throughout the terminology of many of the companies that they're funding. Now, the concept of the Innovate concept was to fund and incentivize technology programs. Now, Mexican restaurants downtown Birmingham, Alabama are not high tech.
No.
And so it looks to me like possibly they had this money for incentives and grants and tax credits, couldn't find who they wanted to give it to. And so they just started handing it out to those who applied. You can't even be qualified for the small business tax credit unless you're 51% owned by a female or an African American.
Okay. So bottom line is, it's diversity, equity, inclusion all the way around, no matter what. It's steeped in it.
Yeah, and the largest amount that went out this year was $5.9 million to a group called Bronze Valley Venture Capital, specifically to promote diversity and inclusion in the field of technology. And when you pull up their website, Bronze Valley, it is very specifically directed toward DEI kind of principles.
I want to know who runs Braun Capital. And by the way, we're almost out of time, but I want to know who runs Braun Capital and what do they venture capital into? What companies have gotten the money? That's incredible.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like I said, look, you know, they got 5.9. So taxpayer dollars were funneled to this Innovate board. The Innovate board decides, and their staff, because they have a pretty large staff, decides where that money goes, you know, with the influence of those on the board, I'm sure. And then that money is then in turn either used for something like building a convenience store or building a new kitchen in the back of your Mexican restaurant, or it is then redistributed again in a third layer for something like this Bronze Valley venture capital. They're taking money off the top for, you know, to use for their their actual business, but then they're also redistributing that for to promote diversity and inclusion.
This is, and I'll tell you what else, and I'm going to throw this out there, and I know you think it too, but I guarantee you there is somebody behind the scenes who's benefiting from some of the money coming through these organizations on the far end. And that really bothers me, and I hope there's an investigation on this. And I hate it, Stephanie, but I got to go. If folks want to see the report when it comes out tomorrow, where do they find it?
Yeah, so the Innovate data is on their website and then already on our website under research, alabamapolicy.org, and then our report on this is going out first thing in the morning, so it'll be out 6 a.m. to media and legislators and on our website.
Good work. Great job. Kudos to all your staff. Stephanie Smith, Alabama Policy Institute, thank you so much.
Thanks, Phil. I appreciate it.
See ya. Good Lord. I'm just sitting around thinking I don't need caffeine for the next 3 days. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. I'm talking about y'all. This show goes from Huntsville back over to Chattanooga and from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden and all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the border. It's that thing we now again call Fort Benning. And then big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in, just for good measure. What'd you think about that last conversation, dude? I watched your face a few times light up.
That's pretty nuts. But let me just say, though, like, it's gotten into such a twisted mess. I'm glad that, you know, people like Stephanie Smith and API are going in and trying to untangle that mess. Because, and I know you've said it many times, you've been down in Montgomery, but there's a deep state in Alabama, too.
Oh, there is.
And, you know, if it's gone unchecked for so long and the same old, just keeps going on, it's going to be shocking when stuff like that comes to, you know, the public's attention.
Yeah.
It's nuts. And people are, like you said earlier in the segment, people are so focused on what's going on at the federal level. And then I guess they almost don't want to realize or just unaware that it's just that bad in some areas and your local government as well.
Listen, there were times in Montgomery when I would think that I had seen stuff and then something would happen. And there were a couple of times when it really like was disheartening to hear of things that people knew. I would hear stories of, and this is the corruption side. So I don't want to imply that everybody's corrupt because I don't believe that. I don't believe everybody is corrupt. There's some great people in Montgomery.
Yeah.
And in fact, what I really miss more than anything in my time in the legislature is actually the relationships that I have with people there. But I also heard people say, yeah, I remember when, and like, I remember one of the big tricks was, the gambling interests. They would give you a special gambling chip so that when you quote unquote cashed out, if that chip was in your hand, when you cashed out big. That's untraceable. Mm-hmm. And then one of the other things that I heard was things like, you checked into your hotel, somebody else paid the bill. You went by the clothing store or like, you know, Joseph A. Bank, get a new suit, got fitted for the suit, never had to come back and pay for the suit because somebody else walked in behind you and paid for the suit.
Yeah.
I mean, just gross stuff. And then I would hear people talk about there would be, you know, actual like bribes take place, and not that I ever saw. I didn't know of anything that I could report. I'm just saying that people would say that in years past they remembered this would happen. Mm-hmm. and that kind of stuff's disheartening, and that kind of stuff blows public trust right out the door. But then you hear about this is like legal, yet there's legal versus ethical. That's why we have an ethics board in Montgomery. They don't call it the legal review board, they call it the ethics board, and they want to know, do you have any interests? And here's one of the things that I'm chasing a rabbit, but I'm just mad right now because this is our friggin' tax money right here.
Yep.
And one of the things that used to just, you couldn't find it. I actually tried to find it. One of the things you used to hear about was stuff like, if you look around the state, ask yourself, why is the state of Alabama own liquor stores? It's a great question. Try to get rid of them. It's a hard thing to unravel.
Yep.
There was always this, you could never get enough votes to get away to do away with the ABC board. Why is there an ABC store? The Alabama Beverage Control Board. Why do we have the public sector selling alcohol in competition with the private sector? Well, guess what? Every one of the employees who stocks the shelves and runs the cash register is a state employee, first of all. Secondly, every single one of those, if you go back and look at them, the state does not own the property they sit on. They lease the space for those stores. Long-term government leases. And the story that I heard in the background, but I could never find the details for, was that the leaseholds were owned by LLCs and the silent partners were sometimes state legislators who made sure the ABC board never went away.
Follow the money.
If you can.
Yeah.
I mean, there are ways for them to do things without it being seen. And that's maddening. And now we're looking at Innovate Alabama. Now, I don't care. I'm not going to sit here and say, somebody's on the take, man. I mean, I know there's people out there that will rush to that. But I'll say this. Some of those things shouldn't have gotten money. There's no way in the world. Listen, Right Side Media is a private company. And we are doing all we can to grow. And we've had days where we had to look at whether we could keep the lights turned on. I mean, there were days when, I mean, there were whole months where Charlene and I didn't even take home a paycheck just trying to keep this company alive. And then I find out somebody's building a friggin' convenience store with taxpayer dollars in Bessemer.
A million dollars worth. But see, like,
if there's no justification for that.
No. And if
I'm mad.
And rightfully so. I mean, if you have a surplus though, like in the private sector, it's like you need to spend that money. But if you got $1 million left over of taxpayer money, that should go back to the taxpayer. Am I crazy in saying
no,
that?
You're not.
Like, I don't know. It's
you're,
nuts.
You're not. You're not at all. By the way, if you like what she just had, well, not like, if you want to know more about what she just said, I really do encourage you. Anytime, if you want to do a deep dive on what's happening in the state or what to think about certain legislation or whether a conservative policy point should be talked about or how to talk about it, the Alabama Policy Institute really is good at what they do. I was on staff there for several years. When I left office, having been a legislator, I often used their research to help me in my debates. Or to understand where the bills were going. You know, if there's a gray area, and there's a lot of gray areas, if there's a gray area and I wasn't sure what it meant, API would do great research. You could even call them and ask for help sometimes. Well, they've really worked in the last few years, and that was part of the movement for me to, and by the way, this radio show birthed out of API. But that was part of my time at API, was bringing it to a place where it wasn't just speaking inside the bubble in politics, it was speaking outside the bubble to all of y'all. It's there for you. I would encourage you, check it out. AlabamaPolicy.org is their website, and they got all their stuff on there. By the way, the fact that she cooked up this Alabama Doge thing, good honor. Just so you know, I've got a piece here from Newsweek. That has all the states that are setting up their own Doge. This article came out in February. It says that Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis launched a Doge task force. I won't go into all the details. Georgia State Senate passed a bill aimed at reducing costs and setting up their version of the spirit of Doge, they called it. Iowa, Governor Kim Reynolds put together an official state Doge task force during a congressional panel. She talked about it. Kansas, Missouri. Who else here? Turn the page, Phil. New Hampshire, North Carolina, Oklahoma, South Carolina. Now, some of these are just like good-eyed Texas. Some of these Texas lawmakers actually established a 13-member Doge office, so that's great. And then Wisconsin. So, yeah, there's stuff happening around, but you just heard Stephanie Smith talk about it. I mean, listen. We got a $12 billion education budget alone. Between the education, Alabama is one of the few states in the nation that has two budgets. And between the education budget and the general fund, which is everything but education, we're looking at almost $15 billion in spending this year. Maybe it is $15 billion. That's if they get their supplementals done. But that's a lot of money. And there's a lot of room in there for waste, fraud, and abuse. And it's not always fraud. Fraud has criminal intent. But waste and abuse is easy. Waste and abuse is negligence. Waste and abuse does not rise to criminal conduct, but waste and abuse, at the very least, is someone being either A, recklessly indifferent, or B, negligent in what they're doing, and thinking it'll be fine to let things rock on. All right. Wow. I mean, my God. That's, you know what? I'm gonna hope the press takes that story sheet and runs with it. I hope somebody's out there is gonna go, good Lord, we need to get API on the record right now and do some background investigation on this UABRN USA Inc. that has a convenience store that got $1 million from Innovate Alabama.
But this is stuff that has to come to the light, you know?
It does.
Like, it's been in the shadows for too long.
And there is, yes, and there is nothing about a convenience store that is innovative. It's a friggin' 7-Eleven. And some guy named, or girl, no, it's a guy, Ahmed Badija Badija, with an address in Hoover, Alabama. I mean, it even says on here, it's a corporation, and it says to own, it's a corporation whose nature is to own real property, land, and certain physical assets of commercial real estate business. And they got $1 million in Doge money. Not Doge money, but Innovate Alabama money.
Public money.
Public money.
Yep.
Thank you. I'm just about to the point of tongue-tied. I don't usually get this incensed, but I'm going to need a break so I can go take a time out. Let's do that right now. I'll tell you what, we're about a minute ahead of schedule, but I got so many text messages that I want to jump on them and have a full amount of time to do that. So we'll take a break right now. We'll come right back. In the meantime, I need to go drink some chamomile tea or something. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. Just bulletproof influence. That's what we're bringing to bear. By the way, I just texted Stephanie Smith a minute ago, JP, and told her I'd like to make that Alabama Doge thing a regular segment. We need to have her on more often. It's been too long since she's been on. But I think we need constant updates on this.
The weekly AL Doge findings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And then we can hopefully galvanize some right side ruffians to call their legislators and senators and say, what in God's name?
Put some pressure on.
Yeah. Man, I'm still stirred up. I'm not kidding, too.
I can tell.
I got the heebie-jeebies. I'm just mad.
Well, you're somebody who's been down in Montgomery, and obviously you put in hard work that this stuff, I mean, you're trying to be fiscally responsible with our taxpayer money. So I think seeing that people are not being responsible with it, and it should drive everyone up a wall. But
yeah.
I think the fact, you know, it's genuinely making you angry just shows that, I mean, it can be done, that this can be done better. It's possible.
It absolutely can. I hope this Innovate Alabama is going to get called into a Senate hearing and have to give an account. But you know what, though, looking at it right now, half the board is made up of state senators. So, all right. Brian from Decatur checks in. He says, giving a convenience store $1 million sounds like fraud to me. No one could tell me that's waste and negligence. Brian, I'm not arguing with you. I want to know more about it. Before I'll accuse somebody of crimes, though, I want to know more about it. But by God, it sounds awful. Chris from Priceville says, I've never called a legislator. How does that work? Do they take your message or they actually talk with someone? So, Chris, you're in Priceville. I'm not sure. Look up Price. We'll see what county that is. I think I know where it is. Before I just quote it outright, tell me what county that is, and I'll tell you who I think your state senator is. But
Morgan
County. Okay, yeah. I think you're going to wind up having either State Senator Larry Stutz, who's a great guy, very conservative, or State Senator Arthur Orr, who's also really sharp. Both are top notch guys. I think that's your state senators. And then I believe you've got one of the best members of the House, Representative Ernie Yarbrough. So you've got some good folks in your area. Here's the way it works, Chris. Classic way to confirm, first of all, is you go to the Secretary of State's website, I believe, and you can type in your zip code. It'll tell you who your state legislators are. The other thing to do is most of them have either a local delegation office, or they'll have an office in Montgomery, and you can leave a message. You can also look them up online, and you'll find their email address. And I will just be honest with you. I tried to answer emails all the time. I knew some guys who laughed and said they never did. It'll be a mixed bag. But here's the other thing. They live in your community. The legislator is, legislators are all part-time. They do what they do in Montgomery, but they also have full-time jobs back home. Like Senator Garland Gudger, who is the pro tem of the Senate, he owns a store in, and it's a great, I bought things there. It's a cool place where they sell architectural salvage down in Coleman. State Senator Arthur Orr, he works as a executive at Cook's Pest Control Headquarters in Decatur. And Larry Stutz, he's a doctor. So these folks all have gigs back home. You might see them in the restaurants. You might run into them at church. You might not even realize they live near you. And they are all, generally speaking, very accessible. And you can ask for an opportunity to meet with them or call them. I did it all the time. Look for an opportunity. Be respectful. Know why you're calling and have the facts straight. And then just let them know in an even-keeled manner what you're hoping for or need from them. And that always made the biggest impact on me, more than any lobbyist or anything else. Bob from Madison says, sounds like a bunch of folks in Alabama need to go to jail with these Alabama Doge findings. Let's just hold that thought and see where you go. Jeremy from Madison says, thank you, Stephanie Smith. Thank you for helping expose the man behind the curtain. Mike from Coxie, Alabama says, wow, Colonel Phil, Alabama Doge is stepping on some toes. I love it. I'd like that. Alabama Doge stepping on some toes. Put that on a bumper sticker. Are you trying to just like, you trying to make me laugh now and lighten up? Lighten up, Phil.
Yeah, I had to lighten the mood there, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what then, what we really don't want to hear is any panickins. Butters checking in. Butters is texting the show. He says, Doge Alabama, he said, I know you did good with your discretionary funds, but that whole thing sounds like, more often than not, giving my tax dollars to an elected official to use as a campaign slush fund. Just my opinion. Butters, I am not arguing with your opinion. David from Cortland, Alabama says, he sent you it's a personal text.
Talking about the Hoffman process. Yeah, maybe yeah. You need to partake in the Hoffman process right now.
To get in touch with my inner self? I'm yeah. Okay. my inner self is filled with Jesus. Louis from Arab, Alabama says, talking about Blue Origin, go back to the beginning of the show. Says, FYI, about Blue's leadership, approximately 2 months ago, they had a reduction in force layoff, approximately 1,400 nationwide, of which I was one. Man, Louis, I am sorry to hear that. Sorry, dude. Man, I hope you're bouncing back from it. Andrew from Tony, Alabama, talking about earlier in the show with my monologue, says Chicks in Space sounds like a straight-to-TV movie. What we used to call straight-to-VHS. Ken from Athens says, talking about the KC-135. Yeah, I know, it's the vomit comet. I'm aware of it now. I didn't realize it was called that. To help simulate weightlessness. All right, listen, you guys are an amazing audience. We're going to come back from this. We're going to do some other stuff. Let's talk about some other stuff overall. How much time have I got, JP? Is there a caller on the line? I don't want him to hold for like 5 or 6 minutes.
You got
minutes.
About a minute.
Let me take a quick call. Ron from Athens. Ron, I got about 45 seconds for you, man. What you got?
Okay. You talking about that VC?
Yeah.
There's 6 members on that board.
Yeah.
We pay them over $700,000 a year. The chairman makes $185,000.
Are you talking about Innovate Alabama? Oh, ABC board.
In Alabama.
Oh, ABC board. Oh, yeah.
ABC board.
Yeah, that thing's a mess.
And the guys that go around and just check and make sure everything's legal, we're paying them over $60,000 a year.
Well, you'd also be amazed how many benefits and pay you get just for like stocking the shelves at the ABC stores. It's unreal.
Yeah. Then they get 20 years in, we give them
Retirement.
Retirement.
That's right. In the meantime, the private sector guys that have liquor stores, not that it's my big thing here, but it's private sector is having to compete with the public sector. And good luck with that. Hey, Ron, got to go, man. Thanks so much for the call.
All right. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
A good one.
You too. All right. Listen, we're going to come back from this break. We're going to jump into something else. I did not know the show was going to be consumed by Doge, but that was something else. We're going to talk about Fool Around and Find Out, because by golly, it's time. Now that I've gotten mad, I'm going to go ahead and talk about how glad I am that some folks are getting their stuff just like cut. And you know what? There's a bunch of panickins out there. Panickins. Yeah, there are. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.